Romans chapter 4. I'm very excited about this message. I pray the Lord to bless it to your heart like He did mine when I was studying it, preparing it. In Romans chapter 3, we saw the second thing accomplished through faith in Christ is that the Gentiles who did not have the law fulfill the law and are justified. This is what's accomplished through faith. Gentiles who were uncircumcised and did not have the law fulfill the law and are justified. They're made righteous through faith in Christ. He said there, is He the God of the Jews only? Romans 3:29, is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. And here's the point. It's one God who does the justifying. Who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith. It's one God who justifies Jew and Gentile one way through faith in Christ. Now today we're going to see Paul illustrate this. And he's going to use Abraham. We'll look down at Romans 4:9. He says, cometh this blessedness then. We're talking about that blessedness David described, that God imputing the righteousness of Christ to a man without the works of the law, apart from the works of the law. Forgiven him, covered his sins, will not impute sin to him. He says, verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Does God impute the righteousness of Christ only to the Jew who circumcised in the flesh? Or does God give this blessing also to the Gentile who's uncircumcised in the flesh? See, he's illustrating what he said back up there in Romans 3:29. Is He the God of the Jew only, or is He the God of the Gentile also? Does He justify the Jew only? Does He justify the uncircumcised Gentile also, who didn't even have the law? For we say that faith was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. We just saw that the blessing of Abraham is that the faith of Christ was imputed to Abraham for righteousness through Abraham's faith in Christ. It was from faith to faith. The faith of Christ was imputed to Abraham for righteousness through Abraham's faith in Christ. Now, what's the significance of asking if the uncircumcision Gentile also received the blessing? What's the significance of saying, is it the circumcised Jew only that's blessed with this, or is it the uncircumcised Gentile also? What's the significance of asking that question? And what's the significance of using Abraham to prove it? Well, the Jews took great pride and they put great confidence in being the sons of Abraham, being the natural sons of Abraham. You remember when Christ was speaking to some of the Jews one day and they said, we're of our father Abraham. We never were in bondage to any man. That's when Christ said, you're of your father the devil. But they took great pride and put great confidence that they were the natural sons of Abraham. That's what Scripture means when it says we're born not of blood. It doesn't matter who your daddy was. Naturally speaking, that's not what matters. And the Jews put great pride in fleshly circumcision. They put great confidence in that. Circumcision was the first act that brought them under the covenant of works. And it obligated them to do the whole law of God, which they actually thought they were doing. They thought they were keeping the law of God. They thought they could actually do it. And so they put great confidence in their circumcision. And they put great confidence in all their works under the law. You remember the Judaizers who came down, we saw this last time from Acts, those Judaizers that came down, they were insisting that the Gentile who believed on Christ must be circumcised and keep the law, or he couldn't be saved. There's a host today in churches claiming to preach Christ today that says the exact same thing. Unless you come back under the law and keep the law, you can't be saved. But what this is saying to us, brethren, is if God imputed righteousness to Abraham through faith in Christ before he was ever circumcised, then that means that circumcision and the law, nor any works done by the sinner, have anything to do with us being made righteous before God. You get what he's teaching here? If this blessing was given to Abraham before he was circumcised, and we know it was done 430 years before the law came. So, what did the Jews have to fall back on? Oh, but it was done through circumcision. No, he's showing now this was something done at least 17 years before Abraham was ever circumcised in the flesh. And so, proving this, he's going to show our works have nothing to do with being made the righteousness of God. So he says here in verse 10, how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Abraham was an uncircumcised Gentile. When God called him and worked this work in his heart and brought him to faith in Christ and imputed the righteousness of Christ to him, it had nothing to do with his circumcision. So the Holy Spirit here makes it abundantly clear, brethren, that righteousness is imputed to the sinner through faith in Christ apart from any work done by the sinner. And there's something else he makes clear here. This is how the believer is a child of Abraham, a true child of Abraham, as God regards a child of Abraham. And this is how we're made heirs of God, through faith in Christ. Believing on Christ apart from our works. Faith here is put in opposition to works. It's faith not a work. Faith's a gift God gives. Faith is the total opposite of works. Faith is laying hold of Christ and trusting His works to make us righteous and justify us from all our sin. So I want to show you two things this morning. I want to show you, first of all, what outward circumcision typified, and secondly, the reason it was given. Now, first of all, Abraham's outward circumcision was given to Abraham to typify, to remind him of what God had already done for him while as yet he was outwardly uncircumcised. This was a mark that God gave him to remind him, typifying what God had done for him inwardly before, while as yet he was uncircumcised. Look here in verse 9. It was 17 years. I think Ishmael was 17 years old, if I'm not mistaken. 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, when he was circumcised. So, 16, 17 years before that, God worked this blessedness in Abraham's heart. He worked this grace in his heart. And then 15, 16 years later, verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal. Now, let me tell you what a seal is. A seal is simply a token. That's all it is. A seal is a type, a reminder. In our hometown in Tennessee, there was a statue in the circle, in the town circle there. There was a statue on the square. And that statue was a token. And all it was to remind you of a battle that took place in Franklin, Tennessee. That's what it was for. It was a token. When you saw that, you were reminded men lost their lives here in a battle that was fought. That's what it was a reminder of. Well, this was a seal. It was a token. It was a type. When Abraham saw it, it reminded him of something. What did it remind him of? Of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That word, the righteousness of the faith, that's put for the whole work that God worked for him. That righteousness of faith, you could say there, it was given him as a sign, a token, to remind him of Christ, his righteousness, which he laid hold of by faith. You could say it that way, because that's what it reminded him of. It was given as a reminder, a token of the grace God had worked in his heart already, whereby he was given faith to believe on Christ, and God imputed righteousness to him. That could be put there. The righteousness of faith is put for Christ and all the work of grace that God did for Abraham. And so God gave him this sign, this outward mark of circumcision, to be a token, a picture, a type, to remind him of the righteousness of the faith which he had when as yet he was uncircumcised. Now, his fleshly circumcision typified first and foremost, above anything else, that fleshly circumcision, it was a seal of some temporal things too. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is telling us what it was a type of spiritually. What it meant to Abraham spiritually when he looked at this, when he saw this. It was spiritually, first and foremost, it reminded Abraham of Christ, his righteousness. Christ of whom his faith laid hold of. The righteousness of his faith was Christ. And that's what it reminded him of first and foremost. I want you to turn over with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. By faith, through believing on Christ, what Abraham believed, trust in Christ, what was that the whole body of his sins was removed by the circumcision of Christ. That's what circumcision, physical circumcision, removed the filth of the flesh. And Abraham, when he saw this outward mark, this outward sign, it was a type to him, reminding him of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of his faith, who circumcised him by putting away the whole body of his sins. Look here in Colossians 2:9. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let me tell you something that's good news. See that word, all the fullness of the Godhead, and see that word, you're complete in Him. Those phrases are translated from the exact same word in each one. It's the exact same Greek word. What it means is, as fully as Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that's how complete you are, believer, in Christ. Now that's complete. However fully Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in a body, that's how complete you are in Christ. We have complete atonement, we have complete righteousness, we have complete acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because we're circumcised in Christ our head, representatively. As our head, we were in Christ. You remember when we saw when Christ was 8 days old? They brought him to the temple. That's when a child was to be circumcised. When he was 8 days old, they brought him to the temple to be circumcised. And Paul said, and if you're circumcised, you're a debtor to keep the whole law of God. And we were in Christ. We were circumcised in Christ. We fulfilled that law in Christ. And Christ went about fulfilling all the law of God, even to the death of the cross. And all his people were in him. And we fulfilled all righteousness in him. All righteousness in him. Verse 11. In whom also, what about our sins? What about the body of our sin? In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When did that happen? It happened back there when Christ went to the cross and we were buried with him in baptism. Let me tell you something about being buried with him in baptism. It first of all, is not just him going into the grave. First of all, it's when he was immersed in the just judgment of God. We were immersed with him in that baptism. Remember, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'm straightened till it be accomplished. That's that baptism. When he was baptized in the justice of God in the place of His people. You and I were judged by God. All His people were in Him. And it says, and when that took place, He put off the body of the sins of our flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We were buried with Him in that baptism, and then we were buried in the grave. And it says, then also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who's raised Him from the dead. Now hold your place right there. This is just what Paul was telling us in Romans 6. He said, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's what He's calling circumcision. Just like circumcision put off the filth of the flesh, Christ's circumcision that He accomplished on the cross put off our body of sins completely. And it says that we henceforth should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He that's dead is justified from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin one time. But in that He liveth, now He lives unto God. And Paul says, now likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we can live unto God. Now we can live unto God. We're alive unto God forevermore. Now, also, when Abraham saw his fleshly circumcision, he saw a type of the work of grace that God had performed in his heart, by which God gave him the righteousness of faith. Look at Colossians 2 and look at verse 13. In you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. What's this work of circumcising us in our flesh? What's this work? Moses described it back in the law. God told His people about it back in the law. He was telling them back then, this is what your physical circumcision pictures. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, He said, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. You see, all God's elect come into this world, spiritually corrupt sinners, filthy, vile sinners by conception from Adam. I was conceived in sin. That doesn't mean my mama was doing something illicit when I was conceived. It means by my very conception being from Adam, all I was sin in the womb. And so is you. And so we got to be circumcised in the heart of God. Christ has got to be made sanctification unto us. We got to be given a new heart. Physical circumcision cut away the filth of the flesh. Spiritual circumcision cuts away the filth of the heart. Physical circumcision used a knife, and spiritual circumcision uses the Word of God. Physical circumcision was by the hands of men. Spiritual circumcision is by the hand of God. Our natural heart's enmity against God. We hate God by nature. The God of the Bible, the true and living God, the God who gets all the glory for salvation. We hate that God by nature. But by the spiritual circumcision, the Spirit of God produces love to the Lord our God in our heart. Brings us to submit to Him and trust His will and His work and all of salvation. And that's from a new heart that we're given in circumcision, the spiritual circumcision. Naturally, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. We're dead. And a dead man can't do a thing. But by this spiritual circumcision, we're regenerated. We're quickened. We're made alive by Christ our life. And so then by the power of the Holy Spirit, brethren, sin's not allowed to have dominion over us anymore. We're made to put off something and to put on something. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be you've heard Christ and you've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former conduct, the old man. You put him off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And you renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This begins with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first work of putting off the old man and putting on the new. We couldn't believe on Christ before because sin had dominion over us. And when He comes and takes up ownership in your heart, sin won't have dominion over you anymore. Now, through the gift of God, you can believe on Christ. And you can also love your brethren because He put love in your heart for the first time. So this is what Abraham, when he looked at that physical circumcision, he saw this spiritual circumcision that God had worked in his heart. And then also, when God gave him this fleshly circumcision, He reminded Abraham of a covenant. When He gave him that physical circumcision, you can go over there in Genesis 15 or 17, I believe, read about it. When He gave him that physical circumcision, He made Genesis 17. He made a temporal covenant with Abraham and with his temporal natural children. Well, that was all a type to Abraham because he had spiritual discernment. You sitting here today, you're understanding, you who have spiritual discernment, who have been circumcised in the heart, you're understanding what I'm saying because He's given you spiritual discernment to see the type. Those that haven't been circumcised in their heart, they're scratching their head saying, where is He getting all this? But when he gave Abraham this discernment, so Abraham, even in that temporal covenant, Abraham was reminded. It was a seal. It was a token, a reminder to him of a better spiritual everlasting covenant of grace. And in that covenant, in that temporal covenant, God said, you do this and I'll do the other. But in this everlasting covenant of grace, God comes and says, I've done it all. It's ordered and sure in all things. It's yes and amen in Christ Jesus the Lord. He didn't leave a thing for us to do. That's why it's everlasting. That's why it's a covenant of grace and not a covenant of works. All the promises of God are in Him. Yea, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. So when He circumcises us in the heart and He brings us to hear this gospel and believe on Christ, the Spirit of God actually does seal us. Actually does seal us. In our text is not speaking of this necessarily. It's talking about a token and a reminder. But Abraham had this seal of the Holy Spirit. He was sealed. And what it is the Spirit Himself becomes an earnest to us, becomes a foretaste of what's to come. The Spirit of God gives us a guarantee that Christ is going to return and take out of this world His purchased possession that He's purchased with His blood. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. In Christ you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. We're going to see at the end of the message why He's called the Holy Spirit of promise. But you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So all of this is what Abraham was reminded of. Now, just like Abraham's physical circumcision, it was a distinguishing mark. That's what a sign means, a distinguishing mark. And that physical circumcision was a distinguishing mark upon Abraham and upon all his physical natural descendants. And it distinguished them from all other people in the world. It set them apart and distinguished them from all other people in the world. What is the distinguishing mark that circumcision of the heart makes that distinguishes believers from everybody in the world? We have this distinguishing mark. We're different than any other religion in the whole world. And you know what the distinguishing mark is? Listen to this. Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision. Here's the distinguishing mark. Which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. You won't find any other religion in the world that has that distinguishing mark but those that God has circumcised in the heart. Everybody else puts confidence in their flesh somewhere. Everybody else, and when you put confidence in your flesh, you're not really rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason you do all that is because you're not worshiping God in spirit. You hadn't been circumcised in the heart. This is true of those God births again and circumcises in the heart. Now, be sure to get Paul's point in our text. He said all of this, he's showing us this, and this was done in Abraham's heart before as yet he was circumcised in the flesh. And so that means his works. His works. Any kind of work you want to include. Circumcision stands for all the law of God and all the works of men. All his works. None of his works had any contribution whatsoever to Abraham being made the righteousness of God and being justified from his sin. That's the point Paul's making. It was all by the free grace of God given to him freely in Christ Jesus the Lord, worked out by Christ Jesus the Lord, and he even gave him the faith to believe on Christ, whereby righteousness was put to his account. All of this was through the grace of God. Every bit of it. Now, I want to show you a second thing. I want to show you the reason. The reason God did this. The reason that God gave Abraham circumcision was to give Abraham assurance that God would work the same grace in the hearts of all his elect. It was to give Abraham the assurance that God would work the same grace in all God's elect. And so it would make us, who God does this work in, it would make us Abraham's spiritual children and make Abraham our spiritual father. And it would make us all heirs of God. That's what he was assuring Abraham of. He had told Abraham that he was made him a father of many nations and that he was heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. And so God promised him that he would give him a seed that no man could number. It would be a spiritual seed, spiritual children. Christ himself, the seed, would come through Abraham's lineage. And then all those that Christ redeemed, this work of circumcision of the heart would be performed in them so that they would, those born of God would be his spiritual children, children of Abraham. And they would all together be heirs of God. Now let me show you how some of the old writers read our text. Romans 4:11. Let's read it again. I'm going to show you how they said this should be read. John Gill, especially, was one that said this. It says, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal, a type of the righteousness of the faith, that inward work of grace. Now watch this. Which shall be in the uncircumcised elect of God. That's how they say it ought to be read. He received this sign to be a type of the righteousness of the faith which shall be worked in the uncircumcised who are the elect of God, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised in the flesh, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and that he might be the father of that spiritual circumcision to them who are not of the fleshly circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. And that, when you go back up there to that phrase, where it says that he received the sign of circumcision, a seal, a type of the righteousness of the faith of that inward work of grace which shall be in the uncircumcised elect of God. The rest of that makes a lot more sense. He's saying he gave him that sign to remind him that that same work of grace that had been worked in his heart is going to be worked in all his spiritual seed. And that's how he's going to be their father. It's going to be through faith. It's going to be through faith. Notice that last line. He calls Gentiles who were not circumcised, who were given faith in Christ, he calls us those who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You know what that means? Abraham walked by faith being yet uncircumcised. When God called him out of Ur, he was a Gentile. And when God worked this grace in his heart, he hadn't been circumcised yet, and God hadn't even called him a Jew yet. He was a Gentile, uncircumcised. There was no such thing as a Jew till God said, okay, now you're a Jew. No man even knew what that was. And most don't even know what it was meant to picture, which is what we're going to see here in a minute. But Abraham, physically speaking, he was an uncircumcised in his flesh when as yet he was walking by faith, walking by the rule of faith and the rule of love. That's what circumcision avails nothing, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, being circumcised in the heart and made new, which walks by the rule of faith, which works by love. That's the rule we're under. You don't have to have the law of Moses. You have the rule of faith in Christ. And you walk by the rule of love, constrained by the love of Christ in your heart. But look here now. God promised Abraham that he's going to be the father of a great host of children, spiritual children, and that together they're all going to be the heir of God. But God made that promise to him not through fleshly circumcision and not through the works of the law. Meaning, God wasn't telling him, now all these natural sons you have that are fleshly circumcised in the flesh, I don't mean they're going to be your spiritual children. They're just your natural sons. God was saying, what I'm saying is, those that this is worked in their heart and they're brought to faith in Christ, Abraham, they're your spiritual children. They're heirs of the world with you. Because look at this. Look at verse 13. For the promise, there's where we get the Holy Spirit of promise. This promise that the Spirit brings, when he circumcises the heart, that promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's the second thing he's showing us here. He's showing us that he had a promise to be the father of all believers and to be the heir of all things. But it wasn't, that promise was not made to him through circumcision. It wasn't made to him based on his works. It was made to him through the righteousness of faith. That's what he's showing us here. And so therefore, brethren, it was not fleshly circumcision that made Abraham a true Jew. We're not told it in Scripture. But it could have been that God made it known to Abraham that he was a true Jew when as yet he was uncircumcised in the flesh, because he was. He was. He was made a true Jew while as yet he was uncircumcised in the flesh. And the fact of the matter is, all Abraham's spiritual children, God's elect, are made true Jews the same way as Abraham was. Even though they may be uncircumcised in the flesh, or though they may be circumcised in the flesh, none of that avails. Whatever's done in your flesh doesn't avail anything. That doesn't make us a true Jew. What makes us a true Jew is what God does in the heart. Just what made Abraham a true Jew. Turn to Romans 2 and look at verse 26. Paul was telling the Jews here, the natural Jews, who put all their confidence in circumcision and all their confidence in their law obedience, he was telling them that they didn't keep the law. He was telling them, you've not kept the law. You're as sinful as these Gentiles I just described who are so vile and awful. You're just as sinful as they are. And then look what he says. Romans 2:26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be imputed for circumcision? Shall God not count him to be a true Jew? Here's what he's saying. If an uncircumcised Gentile, now get this now, who he never was circumcised and he never even had the law. Not at all. But if he keeps the righteousness of the law, shall God not impute him to be what he really is, and that is a true Jew, truly circumcised? You say, well, but you just said he's not circumcised in the flesh. Yeah, we ain't talking about the flesh. Well, you say a man can't keep the righteousness of the law himself. We're not talking about man doing it himself. We're talking about faith in Christ. If an uncircumcised Gentile who never ever had the law keeps the righteousness of the law, God will impute him to be what God's made him to be, and that is a true Jew. A true Jew. One truly circumcised in the heart. Look, verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? Christ told us this. He said, shall not the uncircumcised Gentile, if he fulfill the law, if he's righteous according to the law, shall he not one day sit and judge the world? Even those who called themselves Jews, even those who attempted obedience to the letter of the law and by their fleshly circumcision transgressed the law. Remember Christ said, you're going to sit with me and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to judge those who think they're true Jews and who have transgressed my law by their circumcision and by their attempts to keep the law. And that's what this uncircumcised Gentile in the flesh, that's what he's going to do. How in the world? That's just reserved for Jews. How can he do that? He didn't have the law. Here's how. Verse 28. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And when that work is performed, brethren, over in Romans 9, he says, the Gentiles who didn't even have the law, because they were circumcised in the heart and brought to faith in Christ, to trust Christ alone, they've attained to the righteousness of the law, even though they didn't even have the law. That's how an uncircumcised Gentile who never had the law can keep the law. God circumcises his heart and gives him a new spirit and gives him faith and he lays hold of Christ and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to him. And so this one is he's imputed by God as being a true Jew because that's what he truly is. He's a true keeper of the righteousness of the law because in Christ he's truly kept it. And so he's the one that'll judge all lawbreakers who broke it by trying to fulfill the law themselves rather than bowing to Christ. That man, that true Jew, will sit with Christ and judge this whole world. And see, this is how Abraham was made a true Jew. And this is how Abraham was made the father of all his spiritual children and how we were made spiritual children of Abraham. Through this circumcising work of the heart, this is how we were brought to fulfill the law. This is how Abraham fulfilled the law before he was circumcised and 430 years before the law was given. Through faith in Christ. Now let me show you this, Galatians 3:13. I got four scriptures I want to show you, and they're all in Galatians, and we'll be finished. I'm going to back up everything I just said. Back up everything I just said. Abraham was circumcised in the heart, and in Christ his surety, Christ's righteousness was freely imputed to him through faith in Christ. That was the blessedness Abraham had. How can you and I, who are Gentiles, have this blessing? How can we have this blessedness? That's what he's proving here, that we can have it. Even if we were uncircumcised Gentiles and never ever heard of the law of God given at Mount Sinai, we could attain to the righteousness of the law too. How? Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, this blessing we've been looking at, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What is it? That we might receive the promise, or the promise made by the Spirit through faith. What promise is that? Galatians 3:22. Galatians 3:22. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise would be by the faith of Jesus Christ, by His faithfulness, accomplished by His faithfulness, and be given to them that believe. And so then, verse 26 says, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to God's promise. You see what he said? Christ came and fulfilled the law for his people. He broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile and made his people one in him, making us righteous in Him, fulfilling the old law for us. And then He comes and circumcises our heart and brings us to cast all our care on Christ. This is that blessing Abraham had. This is why He redeemed us, so that we might be given this blessing by the Spirit of God through faith. That's why it's so ridiculous when men say, and there are some out there say, if you're elect of God and Christ died for you, it don't matter if you ever hear the gospel or not, believe on Christ, because you're going to be saved anyway. That's ludicrous, because the very reason Christ redeemed us is so that we might receive the blessing Abraham received and be circumcised in our heart and brought to faith in Christ. That's the very reason He died. And so it's by this work of grace, brethren, that Abraham's the father of every believer. And every believer is a child of Abraham. You see, being a fleshly Jew or not being a fleshly Jew doesn't matter. That has no bearing on anything. What matters is, Paul said, being made a new creature, being circumcised in the heart and brought to believe on Christ and rest in Him. And he said, and as many as walk by this rule, by the rule of faith which works by love, by the rule of grace, salvation by grace, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and on the Israel of God. They are the Israel of God. They are the true Jew. Is that clear? I hope that's clear. That blessed my heart so much to see that. I was walking around on tippy toes this week. I pray you get a blessing from it too. All right, brethren, let's, Brother Art, if you come lead us in a closing hymn. And when he's done singing, when he's finished singing, Brother Russell, will you close in prayer?